The holidays are a time to celebrate and indulge in baked goods warm from the oven. Unfortunately for the gluten-sensitive, seasonal pleasures such as sugar cookies and mincemeat tarts have been off-limits. Well, Jean Savage, author of the popular blog Art of Gluten-Free Baking, is here to tell us that there are many gluten-free recipes with all the flavors of their wheat-filled counterparts. She has written a book entitled Gluten-Free Baking for the Holidays, 60 recipes for traditional festive treats, and her most recent book is Gluten-Free Wish List, Sweet and Savory Treats You've Missed the Most. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Jean Savage back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's my honor.
What is it about this subject, and it's been a few years since your last book, since your holiday book, and I assume you're still learning things about what you can do and what is possible in this world of gluten-free?
Oh, I am, for sure. That's one thing I tell people is that even though I teach this and I write about this and I think about this, I'm still learning about this because there's so much to learn. And, you know, baking is pretty much, it's an art and it's a craft, but it's also chemistry. So there's a lot to learn about how things are working there.
What is it, especially for those who require a gluten-free diet, that makes the holiday such a tough time?
Well, I think the main thing is that the holiday time is a time when we all get together as a community or as families or as friends, and we share food. That's one of the main ways we bond. And I think that if you are unable to eat the things that everyone else is able to eat, even though you're present physically, you're not really part of the community bonding experience. So after experiencing that several times myself, I myself am gluten intolerant, I decided I wanted to make baked goods that, A, were fun to make and I could make with my daughter and my family, but also were delicious and indistinguishable from their wheat counterparts, and were things that everyone could share and everybody would be happy with, and that would include everybody and make the community just something everyone was part of.
Is that the hard part, to make them indistinguishable from their wheat-filled counterparts?
You know, I think it is. It's getting easier. I was just talking to someone yesterday about back in, you know, the olden days when I was diagnosed about 16 years ago, it felt like there were not very many good resources. There weren't, you know, very many books. The ingredients weren't available. The processed stuff wasn't available. It's easier now, but it's still something that requires thought and work. And that's something I've kind of dedicated my professional life to, is figuring out how to make things that are gluten-free but that taste and feel and are almost indistinguishable from the things that I remember, that I cherish, and that I really enjoy.
I know in the holiday book you have a recipe for a gingerbread house. So do you think of those things, this is what I would love to have, or these are things that I enjoyed, now let's figure out the chemistry and how to make that happen?
Exactly. So what I tell people is I kind of sort of reverse engineer things. So what I eventually ended up doing was I went down to baking science, and I kind of looked at how I taught myself, how does gluten perform, and what is flour made of, and how does it do what it does in baking? And when I say flour, I mean wheat flour. And then what I did was I thought, okay, I need to make gluten-free things that are chemically similar. I mean, it sounds crazy. I'm not even a chemist. I'm actually a theater PhD. But meaning, you know, how do you reverse engineer and make things that are gluten-free but that mimic and perform the way gluten-full things do? And so it's something that is difficult and requires work, but once you figure it out, it hasn't been that hard to kind of, go forward and then produce the things that I want.
You have recipes in both books, really, for flour. And once you have perfected that, does that make everything a little bit easier?
It does. I really feel like, you know, if you just think about it, flour is the fundamental building block for baking, period. It doesn't matter if it's gluten-full or gluten-free. And gluten-free baking, I think, really can succeed or fail based on the flour. And as we've talked about before, and as something I talk about in my books, is for gluten-free flours, you really need a mix of flours to mimic all-purpose wheat flour, which is what I kind of set out to do because that's the kind of flour that I used in my home baking. And there's no one gluten-free flour that does it. So what I had to do is I had to find a good combination of gluten-free flours that were, A, easy to find so people didn't have to go hunting for them, and B, tasted and felt and mimicked the chemical structure of all-purpose wheat flour. And then what I did was I added something that I call a gluten replacer because, you know, to be honest with you, that's the whole issue with gluten-free baking is there's no gluten. And gluten is the thing that kind of is what baking hinges upon in the flour. So once I did that and figured out the flour mix, then that kind of served as the platform from which to build and build my recipes and the things that I make.
Which makes it seem remarkable that in the new book, in the wish list book, that you have recipes for bagels and English muffins and croissants.
Yeah, well, you know, those were kind of hard to come up with, I'm going to be honest with you. It took me quite some time to work on each one of those. But again, what I really did is I went to the basics of what each of those recipes needed and how they performed and how I wanted them to taste and how people expect them to taste. And then I kind of went forward with that in terms of how to recreate them. The other thing that I did was I really try to, if I can, stick with the conventional methods and techniques of classic baking, which I find are very, for the most part, they really do work. If you kind of look at how these things were developed from the get-go, the techniques are there for a reason. And so even though I've had to adapt and I've had to kind of modify some things, I really tried to stick with the basics in terms of how the baking works and then how my ingredients perform.
So I'm assuming the wish list book came out of a desire that many people who have a gluten-free diet said, well, these are the things we would love to eat, but we can't.
Exactly. That it comes from my list. So, you know, when I was diagnosed, all of a sudden there were so many things that were off the table for me that I really, really missed. And I have to admit the number one of those was croissants. I just sorely missed croissants. But over the years, you know, with my books and my blog, I have readers that tell me over and over again, oh, I wish you had a recipe for X. And over the years, I've kept a list of those things. And eventually, I was talking to my agent one day, and she said, you know, that is a perfect book, The Things That Everybody Misses. And I thought, she's right. So that was the genesis of this book. And it was so fun to do it because really, it's like giving a gift not only to myself, but to all my readers. Here are all the things that you've told me you miss and you want to make, and let's do this. So I'm just thrilled to have written it.
Is there one thing that still challenges you in making, or one item that you still really want that's still on a wish list that you continue to work on?
Oh, gosh. Wow. Well, let me think. I think in the beginning that thing may have been croissants and the various laminated doughs, you know, the puff pastry, the Danish dough, the croissant dough. So I think those were my kind of pinnacle ones. Possibly the whole science behind, as I'm just kind of thinking out loud here, but I think the whole science behind artisanal breads. You know, I do have a sourdough bread in a starter and a bread in my book, and I think I'd like to potentially go farther with those and get really deep into, you know, how does the wheat artisanal bread work, and how does the starter, you know, really go kind of deep into the chemistry of how that works and how the flavors are developed, and then do the same thing with gluten-free. I know several books on that topic have come out, but not to the extent that I was kind of thinking in terms of, you know, going deep into that. But other than that, I can't think of anything right now. Well, I guess I'll say the artisanal bread, the really hardcore deep flavored sourdoughs. I've started with that, but maybe I want to go deeper.
In the holiday baking book, what has the reaction been of people who are looking to bake around this time of year and now have all of these options with the 60 recipes?
They are thrilled. It's just so fun to hear from readers and to talk to the people that I teach. I teach, you know, classes all over the place, and people are always telling me that they are just thrilled to be able to make these things again. And I think part of it is not only just the eating of these things. I mean, it's the making of them. There's such a tradition around the holidays to get together and have cookie parties or, you know, bake with your kids or bake with your family. And just the fact that you can do this again and do this, not only do it for yourself, but do it as part of your, you know, your core group, is just thrilling for people and so nice. And I mean, people tell me that, but I feel it as well. It's just nice to be able to go into the kitchen and bake some stuff with my daughter. It's something when she was first born, I thought maybe I couldn't do, and it was really hard to contemplate that.
Jean Savage is the author of two books. The newest is Gluten-Free Wish List, Sweet and Savory Treats You've Missed the Most. Her other book, which is especially relevant at this time of year, is Gluten-Free Baking for the Holidays, 60 Recipes for Traditional Festive Treats. Both books are published by Chronicle. Jean Savage, thank you very much for being with us. Have a wonderful holiday season, and thank you very much for sharing your expertise this morning.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And happy holidays to you.
And to you. A great pleasure. Thank you very much. Again, Jean Savage is the author of Gluten-Free Wish List and Gluten-Free Baking for the Holidays. Both books are published by Chronicle. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.